why are we so afraid to offend people? You know, somehow we've got this rosy picture in our minds that by offending no one, we're winning. And, you know, the biggest loser is ourselves. Because you have to polarize. It's like a political election, right? You don't go into it saying, I don't want to offend anyone. You know that at least 50% of your audience is probably going to not like you, not vote for you. You may not be the prime candidate for them. So by not polarizing, by not offending, you don't win. So the opposite of offending, and once again, that's another mental mindset that I'm all against, is it's the negative. Offending is a negative. Well, we don't work from a negative angle. We work from a positive angle, which is, how about the opposite of offending? What if in the chance of offending someone, what if we had the chance to inspire someone? What if we had the chance to motivate someone? What if we had the chance to change someone's world because of what we did and who we are? So let's stop talking about how we offend people. Who cares? People are going to be offended. You know what? People are going to be offended when you're sitting in a dark room doing nothing. I don't care about those people. They could all die. I mean, the people that I care, the people that I want to be a part of are people that I can inspire. People who say, I want to be better. I want to change the world. Guess what? I want to be a part of your world.
It's Open for Business, streaming live Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern at WMUU.com and on demand 24/7 on EPN at epodcastnetwork.com.
This is Liz Lynch, and you are listening to the Entrepreneur Podcast Network.
This EPN podcast is brought to you by iContact, where email marketing is simplified. And by Mosey, your business protection location with online backup starting at less than $5 per month. You can find more information on these offers by simply clicking on the appropriate banners on the right-hand side of our site at epodcastnetwork.com.
Hi, this is Jessica Eves Matthews, America's advocate for women in business. And you're listening to my podcast, Foundations for Business Brilliance. Thanks so much for tuning in to the ePodcast Network. You know, it is an incredible time to launch a business. With the power of technology and the internet, mompreneurs, solopreneurs, and entrepreneurs have the potential to live the life they dream of and build the kind of wealth that will sustain them and their families really for the rest of their lives. And I believe so strongly that every person has unique and powerful talents and gifts, and I know that each of you can use those very passions and talents to achieve wealth, independence, and liberation from all that is holding you back. I am a seasoned business lawyer and business advocate, and I've spent my entire career helping entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and small business people launch and run their own businesses. I know the path that will lead to business success and brilliance, and it's as hard and as simple as looking inside yourself, embracing who you are, and then having the courage to take your unique path to business brilliance. You know, what I love about my business is that I get to work with people to help them find a clear and very practical path to launch and build a business, create wealth, and get their life and their joy back. My Business Brilliance products and programs were created to help you discover your gifts and passions and help you launch and create a solid foundation for your business to grow that business to heights that you might not have ever dared to dream about. And my programs are going to give you step-by-step guidance on how to get from today to the life that you long for. Together, we'll work on everything from finding your true gift, conceiving of your business idea, to creating a solid business foundation. And that's critical. And let me add that you can find more information about my programs at www.jessicaevesmatthews.com. And that's Matthews with one T. I am so incredibly excited to be able to share with you the roadmap for launching a solid foundation for your business through this podcast on EPN. That foundation will support your business and then your ideal life. It will renew your energy, your enthusiasm, and it will ultimately result in independence and success for years to come. So if that sounds good to you, then let's get started. Hi, everybody. It's Jessica Eves Matthews. Thank you for tuning into EPN, and thank you for tuning into my podcast, Foundations for Business Brilliance. Today, we are going to talk about how to make sure you do not end up in trouble with the FTC, which is a Federal Trade Commission. The FTC governs a lot of your online activities, whether you know it or not. And there are some specific things you need to know if you have a website and if you are engaging in business online in some form. And so I'm going to do a review of some of those rules today, some of the most pertinent ones that would relate to you. If you have a website, if you're selling products on a website, whether it's your website or not, maybe you sell products on someone else's website like Amazon or Etsy.com, and also if you're communicating with people via email, these things all apply. So let me go through the two most important ones, and then I'm going to take you over to the FTC website, which actually has some great information for business owners. I highly recommend you go there and familiarize yourself with the rules that govern you, because these rules apply to everyone. And so let's start initially with your privacy policy. We've spoken a little bit about that, but I want to get into a little bit more detail about your privacy policy as it relates to communications with people on your list. So as we've said before, you need to have a clearly posted privacy policy on your website. So if you have forms that collect personal data from visitors to your site, such as an opt-in form to collect email addresses or other personal information, you should post an abbreviated and very clear privacy policy right below that form. You can see that on a lot of websites, including mine. That'll say something like, "We never share your information with third parties," or something like that. Then you also need to have a more comprehensive privacy policy published on your site. We have talked about this. It needs to be somewhere that's easy to find. Most often, you're going to have a link at the bottom of your website to your privacy policy. And the reasons for having a privacy policy, just to review that, are really twofold. And really, one, it's about building trust with your customers and clients. And we've really seen a good example of this because Facebook has really been out there experimenting with privacy policies and hasn't gotten the best response. It's really hurt their reputation. So people obviously care very passionately about their privacy, and they really do not take it lightly when you engage in an unauthorized use of their personal information. And so it's really important in order to build trust, which, you know, trust is so critical in today's world of social media and relationship marketing. In order to build that trust, you really need to have a clear policy on how you're going to use the information you gather, and you have to adhere to it strictly. So one example, and this is what really relates to the FTC rules and federal rules generally, is that if you send out email communications with your customers or clients, you actually have to adhere to a federal statute, which is called the Federal CAN Spam Act. Just like it sounds, CAN-SPAM. If you do not comply with those rules, you could find yourself actually being labeled as and prosecuted for being a spammer. And that can include some very heavy penalties. This is really no small thing. I've had clients almost go out of business because they were embroiled in litigation with the U.S. Attorney's Office for a violation of the CAN Spam Act. So you must have clear authorization to contact someone via email. That's the opt-in box is what you need for proof that they have actually asked you to include them on your list. And then you need to provide a clear and easy way for someone to unsubscribe from your list. It needs to be right at the bottom of any email communication you make with them, and it needs to work immediately. Never send an email to someone who didn't voluntarily give you their email address and agree to you using it to contact them. And I've mentioned this before, but I personally think the best way to handle this for yourself is to use a service that will collect and monitor email addresses for you, such as AWeber, iContact, or Constant Contact, one of those. I personally use AWeber. One Shopping Cart can also do that for you. There are others. I would just maybe ask people that you trust who they use. You'll get some good recommendations. Basically, those services are going to receive the unsubscribe requests from your list, and their database will automatically remove that email from your list and put it on a do not contact list in order to comply with the CAN Spam Act. With these services, obviously, there's a monthly fee to use them. I think you can either pay monthly or yearly, but really, this is about minimizing a very huge risk in the internet world, and so I wouldn't bat an eye at using one of these services.
They're just going to make it real easy for you. That is really important. The other really important rule you need to know is the FTC rule on affiliate and testimonial statements on your website and in your email communications. On December 1st, the Federal Trade Commission began to enforce revisions to the guidance that it gives to advertisers on how to keep their endorsement and testimonial ads in line with the FTC Act. These new changes have to do with the use of endorsements and testimonials in advertising, basically addressing endorsements by consumers, experts, organizations, and celebrities, as well as the disclosure of important connections between advertisers and endorsers. So let's get into a little bit more detail about what that means. Have you ever seen an ad for something like weight loss? Let's think of Jared for Subway, for example. Someone who's lost a ton of weight, you know, several hundred pounds, doing something like eating Subway sandwiches or drinking nothing but a protein shake once a day or something like that. Under the photo, you typically see the phrase, results not typical. And that disclosure used to be okay under the FTC rules, but now it isn't. Now, advertisements that feature a consumer and convey his or her experience or actually results with a product or a service as typical when it is not the case will be required to clearly disclose the results that consumers can generally expect. I think there is going to be a distinction between experience and results. So if someone had a great experience with you, they can probably give you a testimonial about that. If they had a great result, like they made a ton of money or they lost a bunch of weight, unless that is typical and can be substantiated with actual hard facts, you're not going to probably be able to use that. So basically, the revised guidelines also add new examples that basically help illustrate the longstanding principle that material connections, which usually involves payments or free products between advertisers and endorsers, connections that consumers might not necessarily expect, must be disclosed. So, for example, if I recommend a colleague of mine who's a brilliant sales coach, and I happen to be an affiliate of hers, so that every time when I send people to her, I make a portion of any sale for that referral, that is an affiliate relationship. That means there's a material connection between me and that other that sales coach. If I don't disclose to my list that I potentially am getting some type of material benefit for having made the recommendation, I would be in violation of the FTC rules. The revised guidelines, you know, specify that while decisions will be reached on a case-by-case basis, the post of a blogger who receives cash or in-kind payment to review a product, for example, is considered an endorsement. There's a material connection there. And so bloggers who make an endorsement must disclose the material connections they share with the seller of the product or service. It's just sort of a twist on the affiliate thing. So if you're a blogger and you've got a really successful blog and a business asks you to endorse a product or service that relates to your list, to your target list, you have to disclose that you received some kind of compensation for having made the endorsement. That's what that means. Also, if a company refers in an advertisement to the findings of a research organization that conducted research sponsored by the company, then the advertisement must disclose the connection between the advertiser and that research organization, if it's not an independent research organization. And a paid endorsement, like any other advertisement, is deceptive if it makes false or misleading claims. That's never been legal under the FTC rules. It still isn't. So basically, if you have testimonials on your site that talk about the results your clients have had in working with you, or how much their business has improved or their lives have changed for the better, you need to have a disclaimer clearly posted on your site and on your emails that makes it, and on your Facebook page, if you have a fan page, by the way, that makes it clear what results are actually expected or typical when someone uses your products or services. Now, you only have to do that if you're using testimonials. If you're not using testimonials, it's not an issue. And likewise, if you have an affiliate relationship with someone, like we talked about, you need to clearly and conspicuously disclose this fact. Personally, I recommend that you err on the side of being really clear so that you don't face any fines or penalties from the FTC. And one way to do that is to capture a screenshot of your website and maybe keep copies of the emails you've sent out that have that disclosure on them, because that will help establish proof that you are in compliance with the FTC rules. Okay, so I want to send you to a website that is really helpful. It's the FTC's website, and it's www.ftc.gov. And you need to go under the Consumer Protection tab on the top of the page and then click on Business Information. And you're heading towards Facts for Business. There's a section called Facts for Business, and it's got great information. There's all these different business categories, so depending on what type of business you have, there's information for you there. If you click, for example, on the e-commerce link, these business categories, you're going to see them on the left side bar of the FTC.gov website under Consumer Protection and under Business Information. And it's going to talk about advertising and marketing on the internet. It's going to talk about the Can-Spam Act. It's going to talk about complying with the FTC rules on affiliates and testimonials. If you click, for example, on advertising and marketing on the internet, that's going to be a PDF you can pull up, or you can pull up the site itself. It's going to tell you what the rules are. For example, advertising must tell the truth and cannot mislead consumers. That's very important. And in addition, the claims must be substantiated. So if you're going to make a claim about what your product or service does, you have to be able to substantiate it. There's a whole section here on general offers and claims for products and services. There's a section on protecting consumers' privacy, which we have talked about, but there's a little bit more information here. I highly recommend you review it. And if there's a chance that children are part of your target audience, you need to familiarize yourself with the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA. That's very, very important. If you potentially have children coming to your websites, you need to be able to protect their information. There's very specific rules relating to that. And it talks about the laws that are enforced by the Federal Trade Commission. There's a specific section on multi-level marketing, MLM, which you need to be very familiar with. Get to know this page, and it even gets into warranties and guarantees. And that's the very last thing. There's two things I want to go over in conclusion here. The first is, if you make any type of guarantee, which a lot of us do, if your ad phrases anything, or your website or your email phrases anything like satisfaction guaranteed or money back guarantee, the FTC mandates that you have to be willing to give full refunds for any reason. And so there are actually some specific links here on how to make sure you make advertising, how you advertise warranties or guarantees. So I would review that. I would also look at the consumer product warranties section and be familiar with that. I'll go over that in some future podcasts as well and try and decipher it for you. But the last thing I want you to know is that if you do not comply with the FTC rules, then you are going to face enforcement actions or potentially even civil lawsuits. And that basically means you can be subject to a cease and desist order, which could include fines of up to $16,000 per violation. That's a lot of money for small businesses. Per email could be considered a violation. I've had clients who were being sued by the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the U.S. Attorney was arguing that each email that went out to their list was a separate violation. So this could be potentially huge. You could potentially also face injunctions by the federal courts, and maybe even civil penalties of up to $16,000 per violation as well. You're also, if you're in that situation, going to face potentially court costs and legal fees. And in some instances, you're going to have to provide refunds to consumers for actual damages in civil lawsuits. So make sure you really familiarize yourself with these rules. If you're feeling nervous about it, definitely reach out to us. You can go to businessbrillianceuniversity.com for more information on how to comply. We're going to have some tools that are going to help you comply, and some forms and templates for you. So make sure, if you're not on the businessbrillianceuniversity.com email list, jump on that website and get on there so that you have notification when these products become available. So thank you so much for joining me today on my podcast. Thank you for joining EPN today. Hope this information has been helpful. And until next time, make sure that you have a great week. And remember to be brave, be bold, and be business brilliant.
You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network, your guide to business and personal success.